Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone. This is Let's Talk Truth, and we're so happy that you have joined us this day. This is Christmas Day, the evening that we have all set aside to join one another in families and everything. We have had presents under the Christmas tree. We have eaten a lot. We're sitting aside doing everything we need to do. So what we want you to do is join us. We're going to try to talk a little bit about this day and this celebration. This is Lois. I'm your host. And we're here this evening to, we have some guests in our midst, people that we hopefully will kind of bring some truth to everything that we're going to talk about. First of all, Let's Talk Truth is going to examine the role we play in keeping the true meaning of Christmas. Have we lost anything along the way? Have we lost something along the way from the time Christmas has been set aside? Have we lost something, the true meaning of Christmas? And does each generation experience the same true meaning that was designed to resonate from deep within your inner soul? First of all, I want to welcome our guests. We have some young guests this evening, and so we're going to welcome them. First and foremost, we have a young lady who's only 5 years old. We think she's a very astute individual, and her name is Kennedy. So let's welcome Kennedy to our show today. And then we have a young man that we thank God for being here. He hails all the way from Missouri. His name is, we just call him Mizzou. Okay, so let's give Mizzou a hand. Then we have a young man who's here on our show today. His name is Chauncey, a very upcoming, promising graphic designer. And he's going to be here to offer us his views on our show today. Let's give Chauncey a hand. Okay, I guess you guys are saying right now we have a plethora of individuals on the show today, and we really do. So we're going to welcome our next guest is Courtney. Let's welcome Courtney. And we're also going to welcome a young lady who's been on our show several times before, and she always sheds a positive light on the subject that we're talking about. And her name is Shannon. Let's give Shannon a hand. Okay, we have in our studio, Rima is here in our studio today, too. I don't know if she's going to participate. But we're just glad to have her anyway, so let's give a round of applause for Rima. Okay, now that we've introduced everyone, and we have so many people in our show, this is an hour show, so I believe we may have taken up an hour just introducing people. But nevertheless, we're just absolutely glad that everybody is here. Now, a lot of these, including myself, I wanted to go back and find out how Christmas Day came about. Now, as I tell everyone at the top of my show, I'm not here to preach to you, because I'm sure all of you listeners have your own preachers, teachers, or whatever. So I'm not here to preach to you. But I will say this. This show is called Let's Talk Truth. And anytime you are trying to arrive at the truth, God has to be the center. He has to be the beginning, the end, and in between if you're going to arrive at the truth. Now, let's bring about this day, this holiday that we're talking about, Christmas. Christmas initially started, and it's called the Christ's Mass, and it's a celebration of Christ's birthday. But it began in Middle Eastern Christendom in the 3rd century. Mm-hmm. Now, it hasn't always been that way. Now, we have our reasons for doing whatever we do in this society. We have different, but before we go any further, I want to also say that because we're talking about Christians and Christmas, we are by no means trying to influence or give me the word I'm looking for, step over somebody's beliefs. We're not trying to do that. But we are all Christians on this show. And because we're Christians, we want to help you understand that. That's why we're talking about the show. We're saying every day, Merry Christmas. Has nothing to do with anyone else's belief, but if you're a Christian, this appeals to you. We're not talking about happy holidays. We're talking about Christmas. And this is what we celebrate. Now, initially, Christmas wasn't set aside just to celebrate the birth of Christ. One thing you have to understand is December 25th, we don't know if that's Christ's birthday or not.
Right.
But that's what it's been set aside. Now, initially, the church set up this to kind of do away with the pagan celebrations that was going on during those particular times. So to pull people to the side of the Christians, they allowed us to come in and celebrate Christmas as a form of celebrating the birth of Christ rather than the Son of God, rather than the Sun God, which was what the pagan holidays were in
right.
that particular time.
Correct.
Now, let me say this before we go any further. I know that we are criticized by our belief in Christmas. We're criticized for the Christmas tree. We're criticized for Santa Claus. We're criticized for all these different things. But I believe if we're going to shed some truth on anything, we're going to first establish that your motive for doing whatever you're doing is why we have our different beliefs. Now, the title of our show today is called It's More Than a Feeling. So it doesn't matter what you are trying to establish and how you establish it. We want everybody to understand that this day that we celebrate, it's more than a feeling. It's not that I feel this way and I feel that way, but it has to come from someplace deeper within you as to why we are here. It doesn't matter how initially it was set up. What do I believe today in my heart? First of all, I want to kind of reflect back, and you guys are much younger than I am, so I'm going to have to reflect back to when I was a little girl and the setup of Christmas. We all believed Christmas celebrated the birth of Christ. If I believe it, and then that's my reality.
Right.
So whatever I believe, that is my reality. My perception is my reality. So this is what I want you guys to understand is we were criticized because of us having the Christmas tree or believing in Santa Claus. But I believe that the word believe is the key.
Mm-hmm.
It's the key right now. And when we say, are we playing a key role in keeping up the true meaning of Christmas? I think that's something we really need to examine ourselves, because Christmas traditions have changed. Christmas traditions have truly changed. And we have gotten to the point where we don't understand anymore what Christmas really means. when I was a little girl, I can reflect back on the preparation we went through for Christmas. And the preparation we went through was preparing for family to arrive. We lived in the country. So we were preparing for Santa to arrive. And we were preparing for family to arrive. So if family is going to arrive and Santa was coming at night, you have to understand how everything was put in place. We really and truly believe. But as things progress, families don't go home for Christmas anymore. In fact, I'm going to get you guys' take on family as you see it now. Do you believe that family traditions have changed? Family traditions have changed. Has it moved away from the original thought of Christmas? Anybody? Don't everybody speak at one time.
Yeah. It's changed a lot since, just give it like 10 years. I'll give it myself. You can look at 10 years ago, I was about 13. There was more people at my house for Christmas. There was more coming together. There was more talking, getting bonding, remembering what Christmas was all about. Look at it now, it's just me and my guardian. We come together. It's just us two. There's a difference in then and now, and there's a bigger difference between when my grandfather was a little boy and he had all his 13 brothers and sisters and his mother and father together, and they were bond, and it was simpler at that.
Mm-hmm. I agree, Chauncey. That's awesome for you to look at it in that respect, because we have lost family values. And if you lose family values, how far is that taking us away from the birth of Christ? That little baby came into the world to bring about family values and push us to a place where love could overflow and we would learn what the true essence of love. Now, you hear people say, oh, Christmas is so commercialized. They say that word, but do they really know what that word means? How would you explain the commercialization of Christmas at this time? Anybody? Okay. So when we talk about the things being commercialized, we are focusing on material things.
Things that everyone wants to buy, considering the times. I mean,
yes.
People would rather just have an iPhone 5 or 52 rather than just sit down and have a nice, quiet family dinner.
Mm-hmm.
They'd rather go out on a date rather than sit here and talk about asking their mother, how was the day? Did you enjoy the day? Did you enjoy the gift? Did you enjoy just being around me, period?
Exactly. Because go ahead.
It's a money-making machine. Christmas does not have the meaning behind it that it did. Big bank companies sit around and they make advertisements to catch kids out of the toys, adults with electronics. It's a money-making thing because Christmas is based on giving. Oh, you're supposed to give at Christmas. You're supposed to love at Christmas. But the premise for the giving was based on the wise men giving the gifts to Jesus when he was born. But we have taken that and it's been distorted by the devil. And we're using it now as a money-making machine. Revenue, over $1 billion of revenue within the 2 months before, you know, the Christmas time. Because they start putting out things early. You have sales. You have Black Friday right after Thanksgiving. It starts. You have Black Friday. Then you have Cyber Monday. You have all these things, these deals. Shop. Spend your money. Do this because it's a money-making machine. It's not really based on the premise. They're saying give them the gifts that they'll love. Every woman don't need a ring from Jared, but they have advertisements for Jared at Christmas time. Give her what she wants because it makes money. It's all based on money. That's the difference between then and now.
But let me ask you something, Shannon. Back when I was a little girl, we had advertisements too. Things were being advertised, things were being put in your face. But what is the difference in buying into that and not buying into it.
The difference being is life was more simple. I remember when I was a little girl, I used to make my mother gifts for Christmas. I'd make her a necklace out of popcorn or something like that, and she would, oh, I love it, all this. Now that I think back, it was like, oh, I really didn't give her nothing, but it was more simplistic then. Now everybody has to have this. Everybody wants to have this. We are consumed with things, everything materialistic. If you really think about it, Christmas is something that's heart, it's supposed to be heartfelt. You know, the amount that you spend on a person doesn't mean that you really love them. If I'm a rich person, I buy everybody an iPad. I don't have to like you. It's just that I can afford to get you one. And it makes me look good in some kind of way. But Christmas is supposed to be something that's heartfelt, and people have diverted from that and gone into, you know, what I can get that will, you know, oh, this, oh, I got my daughter an iPad for Christmas. She's five. What does she need with that?
Well, I understand that. But what I want us to get to kind of focus on right now, the true purpose. What do you think the true purpose of Christmas is as far as how we're attached to it? What is our true purpose for Christmas? Okay.
Number one, two things. One, if you have a child and you never teach your child how to believe in anything like Santa Claus, everybody, oh, you shouldn't teach your children about Santa Claus. Well, beliefs to me coexist with faith. If you can believe in Santa Claus, you can believe in God because your mind has stretched to that point where you're able to see things that are not right in front of you, if that makes any sense. If you have a child that you never teach about anything they have to believe in, that's why you have people who don't believe in Christ. You have people who don't, I don't believe that. Oh, I have to see it first. Everything you don't have to see to believe, because Christmas is based on a feeling. Because everybody, oh, it doesn't feel like Christmas. Because you can feel Christmas all year long. Because the basis of it is not the sounds of the carols. It's not the putting up the Christmas tree or the bulbs, the lights.
It's more than a feeling.
Right. It's the love you're supposed to have for someone and wanting to see them do the best or be the best. Because you see people all the time, oh, well, just, you know, you see homeless people walk around and say, normally those people will pass those homeless people by. But they'll say, oh, it's Christmas. Give it to them. It shouldn't be just because it's this time that you feel that way. It doesn't automatically get December 1st, and I'm like, oh, I feel Christmas. I feel it. It's really changed who I am.
That's right.
You carry that feeling throughout the year. If you stop at that homeless man in December and give him something, the same homeless man you stop in January through November.
And so that's why our show today, we're talking about, it's more than a feeling. You can't just have a, oh, I feel like this and I feel like that. Because if we walk through life on what we feel, we'll never do anything positive because our flesh is not going to let us feel that much. We're not going to be in tune with what we're supposed to be in tune with. And I think about it doesn't matter how Christmas was set up to me. It doesn't matter to me why it was set up. But that purpose that was brought about, that was put in place, that's what I want to focus on. That's what we all should focus on.
The purpose, my opinion, of Christmas, not about gift giving or anything like that. It's about loving your fellow man. Love, because why we celebrate is because Jesus Christ was born. And if you follow history or anything, or read the Bible anyway, you know that Jesus is love. Why Christmas is like it is now, because we have fallen out of love with each other. All we do is love ourselves and not each other. That's why Christmas is becoming just sell, 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 buy, 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 buy. Because if I love someone, why is it that after Christmas on December 26th, there are more returns for things than anything? Why do I have to return things that someone has given me? And I need to get the money forward or exchange it for something else that I really want. It wasn't even for that.
Exactly.
I don't have to go out and buy you no $1 million TV. If I buy you something myself, Courtney, buy you something, it's out of my heart. It's not just something thrown together.
Exactly.
If you don't want it, that means you're not wanting love. I'm giving it out of love. That's what we should understand. I had to learn that the hard way when I was a kid. I mean, I didn't get everything. I was poor. I didn't get Christmases like all the other kids. So I had to learn it's not what I get, it's the love I get. Now I don't even have to have anything for Christmas. As long as my family is around and I can call my aunties and uncles and stuff and wish them, if they can come over or something like that, that's great. Other than that, I don't need presents. As long as I have a love of my family with me, and that's what we should be dependent on is the love. But we depend on the material.
Mm-hmm.
What happens when the material is not there?
Exactly. Now, let's go back to we're talking about more than a feeling. We have, during a certain period during leading up to Christmas, we have different organizations who they have the angel tree. You put kids on there. You pull a name. You buy toys for kids. You do this. What are some of your thoughts? I know what mine are as far as me taking a kid's name, putting a name, getting him a toy for Christmas is probably going to tear up Christmas Day. And what he left with after that?
Nothing. I mean, you look at kids now. I've gotten toys before. I play with them. Like, yeah, it's so cool. It's so exciting. 7 hours later, I'm done. I played. I had a game.
Exactly.
On a Game Boy. I played it. I beat it in 7 hours. And you know what? What is there to do? Play it again? I've already beat the game. It's the fact that it's lost its luster. Something concrete, feeling, something that's more inward than that. Something
mm-hmm.
that's not a toy that's going to cost you $13.95. Something like talking. Talking, just talking. I can have a conversation with you.
Mm-hmm.
I bet you I'll remember that more than a gift card.
Exactly.
So the other thing, the flip side of that is angel trees, toys for tots, whatever. How these kids get in school supplies, school clothes through the year.
That's my thing.
That's the thing. You know, how they're getting their books. They need calculators. School is getting harder. They requiring more. Instead of angel tree all through the year.
And then another thing, too, that I think we're missing when we're talking about Christmas time and gift giving, I think we're missing the most important segment, that these kids need something else. They need a personal touch. How often do people hug these kids? How often do they make these kids feel like they're important, like, you know, they matter?
Okay, I have mixed emotions about that because, number one, on that angel tree and those toys for tots, anybody can go sign their child up. You can sign your child up for that. Anybody can. And there are people that I have known personally. You have your child signed up for it, but they already have things under the tree. It becomes a matter of greed at that point. There is no, if it was truly something to bless the child of the Salvation Army as, oh, we have the toys for tots. But after, if it's a child, I know personally I've donated to Brian's house. And Brian's house takes care of families in need. They, you know, as the children, even the mother and father, there's adults. You fall on hard times in this economy, you know, you need help, ask them for a wish list. Now, I remember I was thinking it was going to be things like a bike, a video game. They have things like coats, blankets,
mm-hmm.
Sheets, pillowcases. They have things like that on their list. Now, those are things that you have a follow-up with. Giving a child a toy once out of the year, to me, if it was a child really in need, that to me, that's an insult. Because you're going to give me a toy for this one day, but what about my well-being for the rest of the year?
Exactly.
So I'm like this. I haven't had, I've had some expensive things coming up for Christmas, and there are times when I didn't have expensive things. I remember I was in high school, and one year at Christmas, all I received for Christmas was two pair of suspenders and a radio. That was I put down. I wanted a jam box. That was a thing in the late 80s. And I remember I got this old radio. I mean, it had an 8-track on it. That's how old it was. And it had a speaker that was rigged from something else, and the speaker was taller than I was. But do you know what? I was appreciative. I wore my suspenders to school, and I got fussed at about my music being loud every day. That's because it was instilled into me. It's not what I received. But now you have children. If you get them things like, you know, underwear and socks. That's something you don't need. But you get that for Christmas. Oh, I'm supposed to be indulged on Christmas. Well, when did that come into play? That you can't get a pair of socks or a pair of undies or some deodorant. You know, those are things you're going to need later on. Here it is, a gift. You know, what about sustaining that person after that? So that's why I find it difficult. Me, myself, personally, I'd rather go to a shelter or something and find someone who's down on their luck versus, you know, so I'm just going to pull names from this angel tree. Because everybody who's a part of that angel tree should maybe not need to be on the angel tree. I guess I'm a skeptic in that way. But I think if I'm going to bless someone, I want to make sure there's somebody who really needs it.
And I believe Shannon, she's right on point, because myself, I practice what I preach, and I have a daughter, and she doesn't get everything that she wants. Why? Because then I'm teaching her wrong.
Exactly.
You know, I could have stretched out, and how many parents, grandparents, cousins and stuff go broke on Christmas to get everything? And then when those credit card bills come around, now you're in debt behind getting everything that your child wants or keeping up with the Joneses. You know, little Mikey got an Xbox. I got to get my kid an Xbox with a Kinect on it. Well, I got to get him 6 games because little Jimmy got 5 games. We are just perpetuating a cycle, and then that's why things happen and our kids go straight. And you get all this commotion and mess that's happening now because we're not telling our kids, we're not showing our kids right. Going broke.
We're not showing them.
Buying Christmas gifts.
We're not showing them what's important.
Yeah, they need clothes.
So,
and things like
water.
That. And then we even homeless, we show homeless love one time out of the whole year.
And treat them like garbage.
One.
For the rest.
1 month.
Mm-hmm.
A couple of weeks out that month. Then just like Chauncey just said, then the whole other year, they don't get no shoes from us. They don't get no food from us. All they get is mess talk. Get out of my face and all of that.
I've seen them do stray dogs better than they do the homeless.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, that's we are just going, if Christmas is going left, we're going right because we're not even on target for Christmas anymore.
Mm-hmm.
All we're down for is what did I get and what can I get better.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. So what we're saying is absolutely right. It is more than a feeling, because we're getting to the point where, well, I feel this and I feel that and I feel this and I feel that, when we're not really being a part of the reality of what the celebration is all about. We have to do better than what we're doing.
Mm-hmm.
So we just got to do better. It should be something on the inside of us. We have gotten to the point, and I know you guys, and I'm merely targeting your age group because y'all are young adults. How many of you guys really appreciate the greatest gift that God has given you? He's giving you people that, like you said, that you can talk to, that's got wisdom. But most people have been taught now, they don't want to hear you.
Oh, no.
They don't want to hear wisdom because, you know what, they want to do it their way.
It flies against the grain.
Yes. And when it does, who hurts because of that? The young people do. They absolutely hurt when they fail to recognize, I've got something here that will truly put me over the top. But when you get to the point where it's no longer putting you over the top, then what good is it? Everybody tell me when they start talking to me, oh, she's fixing to start preaching. But I think to give you wisdom doesn't mean that you're preaching. You know, we need wisdom. We need someone. One day when the wisdom shuts up, then what are we going to have?
Foolishness.
Exactly.
Which is what we're bombarded with now.
Exactly. What we're bombarded with now is foolishness.
Because mm-hmm.
I look back, when I was in high school, I remember hearing the people who were older than me say, oh, these kids, y'all are this, y'all are that, y'all not doing this. And I'm like, oh, whatever, oh, they're such a loser. Then now that I'm older, but now that I'm older, I look back at some of the kids, I'm like, really? I mean, is this how you really want to do things? Is this, like, is this all you think you have to do?
Mm-hmm.
That's what I'm reflecting with, all like this?
Yes.
Did I do these things? Did I take things that far? Did I not know my limits? Did I not know? I mean, it's just, I see now what was said about my generation. I'm looking at the generations behind me.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I shudder to think that it's getting worse as it goes on. So,
because when we get down to, I even say it myself, I said, it doesn't really feel like Christmas. And what I should have been saying is, I don't see the Christmas tradition coming into play. I don't see it. We lived in the country, and my brother and my sister, they made it home for Christmas. I don't care, husbands, children, boyfriends, girlfriends, they made it home for Christmas. If they had to drive, ride the bus, whatever, they came home for Christmas.
But you can't come home for Christmas when you're broke. See, that's what I'm saying. They don't put it into their budget to come home. They put it in their budget to get a Wii's, PlayStation 3's, and I'm not saying anything's wrong with it, but what I'm saying is, if you love family, you'll make it in your... Now, if you can't get off of work and understand, I can understand if they live 1,000 miles, but sometimes, if you haven't seen your family in 5 years, that's a problem.
I talked to a young man yesterday. He said, I want to go home for Christmas. He said, but I need to be back in Dallas Wednesday morning. And he said, it takes me 4 hours to go home, and I'm just debating. He said, I haven't been home in years. I said, baby, go home. I said, leave my house right now. Go home. Go see your mom. Go see your siblings. You don't know when the last time you'll ever see them again. But people don't value family that way.
Oh, no, I think Christmas is really supposed to be a reminder of the things that we forget the rest of the 11 months out of the year.
Mm-hmm.
Like a strong reminder of the things that we may have put to the wayside because of life.
Mm-hmm.
You sometimes we're just so engrossed in living life that we forget the small things.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Christmas is a reflection on that because, you know, most people, that's why people say, oh, it's Christmas time. Don't do that. It's Christmas time. Because it's supposed to be a reminder of what we have forgotten 11 other months out of the year. Like how to treat people or a loved one missed or something like that. If during that time is when you say, you know what, you get in tune with the way God set it up, or it's supposed to be set up, rather.
Mm-hmm.
You can remember, okay, you know what, Jesus was born at this time. And it's a lot when you say that. It's not just, oh, it's the birth of Jesus. But yet, why? Because basically, God gave his son, sent his son here to eventually die for us, so that we can be okay.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why the love premise is so big.
That's why the world was established.
That's the way
love.
It was established in love. So if we forget about it, like, 'cause I know with my job it's very stressful, and you have a headache, and if you have children, you have a spouse, that gives you a headache. So you have all these things that I have to take little Jimmy to, you know, soccer practice, and I admit he has ballet practice, and you're running back and forth, and by the time at the end of the day, you get to this routine, you go to church on Sundays, and you try to apply those things, but you can sometimes forget you forget the whole premise.
Mm-hmm.
You can forget, that's why I said something about, what's that thing, say charity?
It begins at home, it's spread abroad.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So that's why you have to, you know, make sure that you, you know, remember those things you forget. Mm-hmm. So I guess December's supposed to be like a constant reminder. And if we're coming every year at the same time, I don't see how we carry it from that December to the next one. But it's like a constant, powerful reminder. Well, it's supposed to be.
Mm-hmm.
But now it's become a money-making, you know, Amtrak train.
Mega machine.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And it builds. It can only build because there's no love in the heart of man. I was talking about to some people the other day, a couple of days ago. I'm a person that I embrace young people. I'll embrace them. I'll feed you. I'll clothe you. I'll, you know, pop you on the head. In other words, I'll do you just like your family. I treat you like your family. And I was thinking about a young lady that I, you know, took care of from the time they were like 7 on up to teenager. Well, the 23rd was her birthday. And I'm inquiring, you know, has anybody seen her, talked to her, tell her I said happy birthday, blah, blah, blah. And you know what I thought about, and since you guys are young, maybe you can shed some light on this. How can you be a part of somebody's life for so many years and then forget they ever existed?
You didn't care about them in the beginning.
Exactly. That's exactly right. Because there's no way I would
make a mark on you how you think. Because everybody, everybody who has made a mark on me, whether it was school or whatever, I'm in my 30s. My kindergarten teacher, see, I can remember who helped me become smart. Her name is Mrs. Segura. She showed me how to do multiplication in kindergarten and things like that. She made a mark on me. Miss Jordan, my third grade teacher at San Jacinto, she made a mark on me. My fourth grade teacher, Miss Robinson, she made a mark. You know, I'm just saying those are my teachers, but people, you know, that I've known and all that I can go back to have made a mark. But when you know people, when they're around you and they say they love you and then totally forget, you were never in their mind. A means to an end.
Yes, you were just like, I just need you to step on just to get over here. Once I get over here, bam, I'm gone. Mm-hmm. But we don't realize that those are that's the part of our life that we're going to have to reflect back on, because I tell people every day, there are no accidents. No one accidentally crosses your path. God strategically put people in your path to help you along the way. And you should never, I used to hear an old preacher say this all the time. He said, don't ever forget the bridge that brought you over. Mm-hmm. Because as sure as you forget that bridge, you're going to have to go back across it. It's not going to be there. So how will you go back and pick up that you left on the other side? So this is something that we just have to be concerned about. Listen, what we're going through, the Christmas time and the camaraderie we have and the things that we focus on, it is more than a feeling, folks. You cannot sit up here and tell me, it just doesn't feel like Christmas. That's a cop-out. So you won't have to do the things that you know is necessary to bless somebody. Mm-hmm. You have to make it a point. One thing, you have to give up yourself. You know, you have to give somebody else something first. But we give people what we have left over. And that's not it. We have to give what we have first. And I don't know, I try to be cognizant of how I appear before people. Because I promise you, you can appear before someone and you're so not accessible until you are running the whole day.
I wanted to mention something when you were talking about giving by giving. It's another thing about Christmas that shows that we're not into Christmas. We'll give something to someone that we know we won't ever use or wear or eat.
Mm-hmm.
Then that's not Christmas. Mm-hmm. I believe that if I'm going to give you something for Christmas, that it would be something that I want. Why would I give you, you know, like, I'm not knocking anybody shopping at Walmart because I shop at Walmart. But if I'm a person that shops at Neiman Marcus,
yeah.
I can't give you Neiman Marcus. I bought all this other Neiman Marcus, but I'm going to give you Dollar World or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And
five and nine.
Why even give it then? You're not thinking of no one.
Because you just want the reputation that I gave.
And that's
but you're not
cursing yourself.
Yeah, but you're not really really in tune with your reason for giving.
Exactly.
I tell people that all the time. I see people who will buy their children. They'll go to Toys R Us and buy their children something. But if they get it for another little kid, they're going to go to Walmart and get it.
Or the dollar store.
No, or the dollar store.
Yeah, they'll go to a dollar store.
That's horrible.
Family Dollar.
But
their kids, you can go in there
and
never find a Family Dollar toy in their kid's toy chest. So
mm-hmm.
Then you're cursing yourself when you're doing that. You might as well not even give because you're not giving out of your heart. I don't care what you say or whatever you do, you're not giving out of your heart when you're doing that. Well, that's all I got. Well, then why did little Mikey get 10 pair of Air Jordans and the other kid
it's
got
family shoes? Yeah.
Give up one of them. Give up one of those pair of Jordans for the other little kid. They can't have Jordans.
Exactly.
It's the season of giving.
But I'm just going to give them what I want them to have.
Exactly. And that's where we're leading going wrong, too, with the Christmas.
Yeah,
you know, because I'm not gonna give nobody nothing I don't want them to have that I wouldn't have.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's okay. Why don't you go in the kitchen there and give them all those cans out there, those Denny cans? We're not gonna use them.
Exactly.
Let's give them a Denny can.
You are speaking the truth. My job had where I work, I work for a bank, and we do a lot of charity events and things like that. Well, we have a food bank that we do a charity for, and at the fair, and one day if you bring 3 canned goods in, you're able to get in for $3, okay? The tickets are really normally $13. So I watched as I sat out there volunteering, gathering canned goods to give, you know, to people who are less fortunate, fill up the food banks and everything. And I looked at these people bring me when I say some of these cans, I was even afraid to touch them. I had sanitizer, I asked for gloves. It was like they picked it up at the back of somebody's house that may have thrown it out or been evicted or something. It's been in the mud and just, I mean, expired years ago. You know that canned goods that's way in the back of your thing that you've never used. It's got the can's not even silver no more or something.
Not Del Monte, but almost Del Monte.
No, it's not even Wallywood. It's just, it's a name, even though it's got a white paper on there and say green beans. And the white paper's not even white no more. It's brown and tainted like you spilled coffee on it. And the can itself is not silver anymore like a silver can. It's not even a bronze can. It's black. It's like tar, like soot is on it. But you come here to bring this, you can get into the fair, and you have all these beat-up cans and 18 children, and you're supposed to be blessed. It's a point to, okay, we're going to give you a discount because you're blessing someone else. But you brought, I found myself getting angry. And at one point when this lady came up there with, like, 18 million children, and they all had those beat-up cans, I wanted to just throw. We can't say anything. We're supposed to just give them a ticket anyway, but throw the canned goods in the trash. But I want to take those canned goods, a sack full of them, just swing them and just hit them in the back of the knee. You're supposed to come up here, and you're supposed to be blessing someone else, but how are you going to give them something that you don't want? You have never touched this can. It said green beans.
Maybe we should have just opened it and warmed them up and said, let's eat. And then go to the fair. We're going to all eat before we go to the fair. Since y'all brought these cans, let's open them up right in. Let y'all
it didn't even have a name. There is no name. Like, I mean, I've been to, like, little discount stores. You know, you have Aldi, and then you have, you know, at least they have a name on the food. This has no name. It just said green beans, carrots. I don't even know. It looked like a label. They might have printed up themselves and put on there. I don't even know. But I'm just saying I was a little offended by it, and I absolutely agree with Courtney when he says, why do you give somebody something you don't want? If you don't want them old beat-up canned goods in the back, throw them away. Why do you think, oh, they're less fortunate here. They'll eat anything. Almost man, which?
Yeah. That's a sad state. The title is right. It's more than a feeling. It's really, if you think about it, it's a state of mind. It's their mindset. It's how maybe they were brought up, or how they think they're elevated above someone else, or they wanted to give, you know, down give, or how they just want to be themselves, and they can't think about unity. I mean, Christmas, you think about Christmas, it's unity. You want to take it back to the Bible days, they all came for this one baby's birth, wise men, the parents. He even had animals coming to him, warming him up. That was all unified. That all served a purpose together. Christmas is meant to serve a purpose.
Exactly. And I agree with you totally, Chauncey. That is so right on point. We have about 15 minutes left, but I think this is something that's totally awesome. And anytime we have a show, these shows are geared to shine a light on areas of our lives that we keep hidden most of the time. You know, you very seldom hear anybody tell on themselves that I'm not doing the right thing, you know, and I need to tighten up on what I'm doing. I need to change the way I'm doing. I need to learn how to love more. Do you know, I was thinking the other day, and I went to my hometown, and I saw a young lady that I grew up with, and her mother was a third grade teacher where I went to school. Now, I live 16 miles from my school. I had to ride the bus to school. And because I was in the band and in the majorettes and played basketball and ran track and all of this, I didn't always ride the bus home. So I lived during the week and during certain seasons. I lived at Miss Jewel Washington's house. She taught third grade. I'm in high school. Her daughter and I were in the same class. But I lived a lot of days at Miss Jewel Washington's house. Now, there has to be a time that we recognize them. And I would always say, growing up and even after high school, I would always try to give her props, because she fed me every evening just like she fed her daughter. Whatever her daughter did, enjoyed, I enjoyed the same thing. And not one time did I ever hear her say, I'm sick of her being here at my house. You know, she took care of me. She took care of me just like she did her daughter. And I appreciated those things. And my mom and dad could rest easy 16 miles away knowing, well, my daughter is at one of the teacher's houses and she's taking good care of her. So we have to learn how to be appreciative of what we've learned and then pass that on to other generations, okay?
But, you know, what you were saying, that's going so far, like Chauncey was saying about being in a state of mind. We choose to do what we do. That lady chose, her choice that she made it because of how she feels. And I think that as Chauncey said, our state of mind needs a reset.
Mm-hmm.
Because we only have, they say we have, you know, we have choices. We have free will. We choose. There's only two choices that we can make, good and bad.
Mm-hmm.
And I think when our state of mind is flawed, our choices can only be bad. And I think that we have went so far with the wrong state of mind that our moral compass is off. It's like we have a magnet near our compass. If anybody knows about a compass, it's bad if you put a magnet near it, because it will not give you the true direction.
Mm-hmm.
The direction will be off. And I think that's what's happening with us today, because my thing of it is why do we only do good on certain days and when on tragedies?
Mm-hmm. Because,
you know, we only on Christmas time is the only time that I can tell my brother here, Chauncey, I love you. Why can I not tell him that on March 5th? Why can I not go and feed the homeless on August 7th? You know, no holiday, no tragedy. You know, that's the only time we can come together.
Uh-huh.
That's false.
Yeah, that means
that's just a false,
that's a facade
coming together.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't work. It doesn't benefit nobody.
Mm-hmm.
Oh yes, you know, the Christmas time, so I'm gonna give all the children shoes, and then in February when those shoes are run over because kids like to play and things, then what are they gonna have?
we
go get the homeless, and it's a good thing, you know, they go get the homeless and make them sleep in a bed and do all this kind of stuff, but then catch the same people and see what they're doing.
You know,
in the other part of the year, they're not doing that.
Mm-hmm.
You're not doing. It's not a good look. Mm-hmm. I'd rather you not do anything than to do that. You're not winning. You're lying to yourself. You're not benefiting. Chauncey, you're not benefiting.
Mm-hmm. So I understand. You know, and I'm glad to hear that you guys, being as young as you are, I'm glad to hear that you're kind of on point and you kind of know what's going on. Now, briefly, we have like 9 minutes. One of you, tell me, what is the solution for us recognizing that this time of the year is more than a feeling? What's the solution? How can we get that message across?
Come together. I mean, we drift so far away from each other
mm-hmm.
during Christmas time. If you really look at it, it's here's a gift for you. Here's a gift for me. Thank you. I'll see you later. We don't actually just sit here like we're doing now. This right here, we'll probably remember this 1 hour more than someone can remember the Christmas today.
Mm-hmm.
It just happened today, in the morning. They woke up early in the morning to open these presents.
Open gifts.
They probably do not remember it right now.
Mm-hmm. And you know what this particular segment has that our everyday lives don't have? Fellowship. You have the ability to fellowship.
That's what I was going to say. The change starts here. Right now, we're talking together, and we're, you know, acknowledging the problems.
Mm-hmm.
Us in this room, in this studio, have to be the ones that change. And then the change is going to fly against mainstream. We might take heat for it, but we're the ones going to have to start the change. When we go off to our jobs, our schools, interact with our friends, we're going to have to be the voice of reason. Because if no one stands up for it, it won't never be put out in the light.
Mm-hmm.
It'll always be hid. But once you make it a beacon,
mm-hmm.
then it can't be hid anymore. You know, so when we leave today, starting tomorrow, starting soon as this show is over, we need to be doing something, having a new mind, trying to do this all year,
mm-hmm.
being nice
exactly.
to people all year.
See, exactly. I agree with that.
And not just the 25th,
mm-hmm.
not just birthdays, not just Valentine's Day,
mm-hmm.
not just Grandparents' Day. We need to be doing it every day,
mm-hmm.
giving, and not just giving presents, give compliments,
time,
anything that's of value, give it, because that's what you'll get back.
Yeah, and when you say of value, I know you don't mean monetarily.
Yeah,
because believe it or not, I can remember now, it's just, you know, I was a little superficial when I came home, but I can remember every gift I've ever got for Christmas. But what I remember most of the time when I was in there baking cookies with my mom in ninth Santa, or when she would read me and my brother stories, and like, well, not really read us, but my mother would make stories up and tell us things. And we'd be like, really? And so intrigued. I can remember all of that. Those things are more heartfelt to me than, you know, a pair of roller skates that I got. Or an opal necklace that I received, or anything like that. Just, I can remember the things that I did. And I think Courtney is very correct that you have to address the mindset of a person all year long. Don't wait till December to try to change it. It's already in the knot. So if you start December 26th, which is tomorrow,
mm-hmm.
by the time next December 25th rolls around, 2013, you should invoke a change. It's like paying it forward. It's contagious. Like, attitudes are contagious.
Ooh,
and like
God,
I said, Christmas
yeah.
is contagious. If you are in a bad mood and you go to the mall and, you know, me personally, Santa Bell gets on my nerves in front of the store. And I'm like, oh, my goodness. But they start playing music, and then I'm like, oh, it's Christmas time. You know, you forget about that bell ringing in your ear, getting on your nerves. But I think if you pass along positivity or anything like that, it's contagious. It'll catch on.
Exactly. So we're coming down to a close. I want to thank all of my guests for being here, Shannon, Courtney, Chansa, Chauncey, Dijon, Rima, Kennedy. I just want to thank all of y'all for being here. Kennedy exited the studio just a minute ago. She had other things she had to do. But I thank y'all for being here. Thank y'all for offering your inspiring points of wisdom. That's what we call it, wisdom. And when we get down to it, I want y'all to understand anyone can contact our show at letstalktruth333@yahoo.com. We're still working on our magazine for it to come out. And as you guys know, Chauncey is one of our graphic designers, so he's going to have to get on the stick. I know he has a job that he gets paid to do. Well, eventually he will get paid to do this one, so we're going to have to work that in. And we're also working with a young lady named Angelina. She has done some powerful graphic designs for our magazine, so we're just going to get that going and everything. We go to the studio tomorrow night to finalize our Let's Talk Truth song. Our intro music that you hear, we're putting lyrics to it. So it's going to be, the lyrics are done by Baby Girl, and the hook is done by Shannon. So we just thank you. And, of course, I'm going to the studio with them to make sure it all falls in place. So y'all just keep us lifted up in a positive manner. Keep us lifted up in prayer. And we just thank you for being here. Thank my entire staff for making this all possible, for making sure our microphones are in place and everyone is sitting here. And we're going to do this again sometime, okay? We're going to reel together in fellowship like this because I think this was awesome. So how many of you would love to come back on my show sometime?
Oh, sure, definitely.
All right.
You know.
See, we had a good time. And let's really push this mindset, this change we're talking about, and letting people know that our day-to-day lives is more than a feeling. And I think there's a song. Who sang that song, Shannon, It's More Than a Feeling? There was a song.
I'm More than a feeling.
All right, then. So it's more than a feeling. We're going to have, one time we're going to have some singing on here to let y'all know that we can croon. Is that the word y'all use now? See, back in the day, we crooned.
Croon?
Sing.
Oh.
Vibe. What do y'all call it?
Singing.
Oh, see that?
Vibing.
Okay, well, anyway, I'm really young.
Collaboration.
Okay, all right, okay. We've got 1 minute left. Listen, I hope you all have enjoyed this show. It went to a different turn, but yet and still it was there to make you realize that we are in tune with change that need to come about in our everyday lives. We can start it right here with just a few of us that is going to eventually spread. Charity begins at home and spreads where? Abroad. And we're going to come to a close. We have like 1 minute to go. So this is Lois Bullock, and I'm the host of Let's Talk Truth. And we're going to invite you to come back next week, same time, same place. And until then, know that I am loving you with the heart of God. Good night. Love you.